أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I begin in the name of the Almighty God, the Compassionate, the Merciful, the one who has created everything in utmost perfection. And may the peace and blessings of the Almighty God be upon his pure and beloved messenger, the peak of his creation, the symbol of humanity, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and his immaculate progeny of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, especially the leader of our time, the awaited Savior, Al-Imam Al-Mahdi, ajjalallahu ta'ala faraja. May Allah hasten his reappearance and make us all amongst his sincere and dedicated servants. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار. I extend to you my sincerest condolences as we continue with the journey of Imam al-Husayn salawatullahi alayh to the holy land of Karbala. In our discussion this evening and in the following discussion, we will examine the journey of Imam Hussein alayhi salam from the holy city of Mecca to the holy city of Karbala. After spending 4 months and 5 days in the holy city of Mecca, the Imam alayhi salam decides to depart Mecca on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, which is one day before Arafah. Before Imam Hussein alayhi salam left the city of Mecca, his half-brother, Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah, asks him not to go to Iraq. He tells him, my dear brother, you are well aware of the people of Iraq. They betrayed your father. They betrayed your brother. It's dangerous. Please stay here. I beg you not to go. The Imam alayhi salam tells him, Yazid will not spare me. He will try to kill me here, in the sacred house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the haram of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah replies to the Imam alayhi salam saying, okay, then go somewhere else. Go to Yemen. There are people who follow us, the Ahlul Bayt in Yemen. Go somewhere else. Just avoid going to Iraq. The Imam alayhi salam tells him, give me time to think about it. This was on the 8th, on the 7th of Dhul Hijjah. Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah in Mecca realizes that the Imam alayhi salam that night is packing his belongings and the Imam alayhi salam is preparing to leave Mecca. The Imam alayhi salam asked his family members to also pack their belongings, so they go. They did not have much, just some food, some water, some essentials on the way. The swords, the men would carry their swords, their armors. Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah is surprised. He comes to the Imam alayhi salam. He tells him, are you going to Iraq? He says, yes, I am going. I am heading towards Kufa. He says, but my beloved brother, you promised me to give it some thought. You'd look into it. You'd reconsider what happened. Why are you hastening to leave? I don't understand. The Imam alayhi salam tells him, oh Muhammad, oh my brother, my grandfather Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi came in my dream after my meeting with you yesterday. And he told me, Ya Hussein, ukhruj, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ شَاءَ أَن يَرَاكَ قَتِيلًا. Oh Hussein, leave, for it is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you will be martyred. Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah realizes that there is no way out of this. There is a plan by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Hussein alayhi salam has to make this sacrifice. He says, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Then he asks him a question. He tells him, my brother, I understand that you have to go, but I don't understand, why are you taking these women and children with you? The Imam alayhi salam responds by saying, it is the will of Allah to see them as captives of war, as prisoners of war. There is a plan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for us to save the religion of Islam. Many people wonder, why is it that Imam Hussein alayhi salam took his family with him when he left Medina? Then he stayed for about 4 months in Mecca. Why did he not just leave them there with someone trustworthy? Why did he take them to the dangerous journey into Iraq, to the land of tribulations and trials and difficulties, the land of Karbala? Number one, Imam Hussein alayhi salam wanted to demonstrate to the world his sincerity. I am not going to Iraq for personal gains, so I can achieve political power. That is not my goal. When you take your own family, your children, the woman in your family with you, that indicates your genuineness and your sincerity. That you are sacrificing for a higher goal, for a higher cause, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, the Imam alayhi salam knew that pretty much all the men would be killed in Karbala. Who is going to live to tell the world what happened in Karbala? The Umayyads tried their best to censor what happened in Karbala, so the world does not come to know about these events. It is these women and children who served as the media for Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Lady Zainab alayhi salam, Lady Sakina. Those women of the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, they informed the world of what happened in Karbala. They exposed Yazid ibn Muawiyah and Ibn Ziyad. So the Imam had to take them with him because he knew that they represented his media wing. Number three, it was very likely that had the Imam alayhi salam gone to Kufa, Yazid would have ordered for the woman and the family of Imam Hussein alayhi salam to be taken as a ransom, to be taken as captives. And this would derail the movement of Imam Hussein. Because when your own women are taken, you have to take action. Imagine if Imam Hussein alayhi salam is approaching Kufa and news reaches him that your women have been arrested, they've been taken captive, they're about to be harassed. Now it's your obligation to go and defend your woman. This would have derailed the revolution of Imam Hussein. So he had to take them with him. As long as he was alive, he would take care of them. He would protect them. He would not let anyone violate their honor and dignity. For these primary reasons, the Imam alayhi salam took them to the land of Karbala. Now the Imam alayhi salam leaves one day before Arafah. There is one question over here. How does the Imam leave Mecca if he was in his ihram, if he was preparing to go to the Hajj? If you go to the Hajj from Medina, you do Hajj al-Tamattu, which is comprised of a Umrah and then a Hajj. You enter Mecca with Umrah al-Tamattu, and then you go to Hajj. How did the Imam alayhi salam leave? How did he address his ihram? Some narrations indicate that the Imam alayhi salam switched his Umrah al-Tamattu to Umrah Mufrada. Umrah al-Tamattu is part of the Hajj. You perform it before the Hajj. Umrah Mufrada is an independent, separate Umrah. Any time of year, you can go to Mecca, enter, and do your own Umrah. Now, sometimes if you cannot continue with the Hajj, you switch your Ihram, your Umrah, to a Umrah Mufrada, and that way, you leave Mecca and you don't perform the Hajj. Some scholars also believe that from the beginning, the Imam alayhi salam did Umrah Mufrada. When the Imam entered the blessed city of Mecca, he entered with a Umrah Mufrada. We know that the Imam alayhi salam arrived in Sha'ban. And so he did not do Umrah al-Tamattu. He did Umrah Mufrada. And when you do the Umrah Mufrada, you're not obligated to continue with the Hajj. In any case, the Imam alayhi salam leaves one day before Arafah. On the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, early in the morning, the Imam leaves. Now, did Imam Hussein alayhi salam leave secretly? Or the people of Mecca knew that he is leaving and he's starting this journey and this revolution? Some have made the claim that the Imam left secretly. But in light of the speech of Imam Hussein alayhi salam that we discussed in our previous discussion, we come to know that the Imam alayhi salam announced his departure. It was no secret. The Imam alayhi salam says in that speech in Mecca, one day before he departs on the 7th of Dhul Hijjah, the Imam alayhi salam states, whoever wants to join us, whoever wants to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then join us, for we are leaving early in the morning. Inni musbihun ghadan. Tomorrow in the morning, I'm leaving. So it seems that it was not a secret. Many people in Mecca knew that the Imam alayhi salam was leaving and going to Iraq. Now the Umayyads, they had decided to secretly assassinate the Imam alayhi salam in Mecca. When the Imam leaves Mecca, he foils their plot. Their assassination attempt is foiled. Now the Umayyads are panicking. The Imam abruptly left Mecca, unexpected. No one thought that the Imam would leave Mecca one day before Arafah. Now that the Imam left Mecca, they could not control him anymore. They could not contain his revolution. This made them go into panic mode. So when the Imam alayhi salam departs, the governor of Mecca at the time, his name was Amr ibn Sa'id ibn al-As. His nickname was Al-Ashdaq. This governor of Mecca sends a letter to the Imam alayhi salam. Basically, in the letter, he says to the Imam alayhi salam, I have come to know that you are heading to Iraq, and I warn you from discord. I am concerned you'll be killed there. I promise you to give you safety and amnesty. So come back and stay with me. Why are you leaving Mecca? Look at how evil this governor was. He acts as if he is concerned. I don't want you to go to Iraq. I don't want you to get killed there. But in reality, he's threatening the Imam alayhi salam. And it's a shame that he tells the Imam that you are sowing discord over here. He accuses the Imam of discord. If you really care about the Ummah, O governor of Mecca, then fight Yazid, who's caused all that discord. Who caused the ultimate discord and ruined the Muslim Ummah? Was Yazid ibn Muawiyah. Stand up to him. You're threatening the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the master of the youth of paradise. The Imam alayhi salam replies to his letter. The Imam alayhi salam tells him, the one who calls to righteousness is not opposing Allah and his messenger. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not causing discord as you claim. Now you claim you are offering me safety and amnesty. The best safety is the safety of Allah. Look at these words by Imam Hussein. Look at the full faith that he had in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah will not give safety on the day of judgment to the one who doesn't fear him in this dunya. If I don't proceed with this revolution, I have failed my duty. The Imam alayhi salam then makes this dua. It's a beautiful prayer. نَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ مَخَافَةً فِي الدُّنْيَا تُوجِبُ لَنَا أَمَانَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya to fear him, to respect his laws. And this fear is going to translate into peace and safety on the day of judgment. The more you respect Allah, because fearing God means respecting him. When you fear your parents, if you really love your parents, you fear them. But what do you fear? You fear disappointing them. You fear upsetting them, right? That's the true fear. The Imam alayhi salam states, the more you fear Allah in dunya, the safer you will be on the day of judgment. The Imam asks for safety. In this dunya, let's ask for safety. As Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam teaches us in his munajat, when he would sit in the masjid of Kufa at night, and the Imam would cry, he would say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-aman yawma la yanfa'u malun wala banun illa man atallaha biqalbin salim. Oh Allah, I ask you for safety on that day. No wealth, no children, the size of your family will not help you. Except one thing will help you, to come with a pure, sound heart. Let this pure heart shine with the light of Imam Hussein on these nights. Purify this heart. Your greatest capital, your greatest asset on the day of judgment is Qalb al-Saleem, that pure heart. Allah will give safety to this heart. Sins do not give you safety. Materialism does not give you safety. It's all superficial. Let's ask for that amnesty and safety on the day of judgment. The Imam alayhi salam is teaching us, don't rely on this dunya. Yes, this governor may be powerful. He's promising me aman, safety. I want Allah's safety, not your safety. Because your safety in dunya is limited. Maybe you can protect me for a week, for 10 days, for a month, for a year. But Allah's amnesty, Allah's safety is perpetual, for infinity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take care of me. Look at these beautiful lessons from the life of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. My dear brothers and sisters, if you study the life of Imam Hussein, every step that he took towards Karbala was filled with beautiful lessons. The Imam alayhi salam is the walking Quran. You want to see the Quran in action? Look at Imam Hussein. You want to see a servant who's in love with his creator, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's full of confidence, who's full of iman, who is just captivated by the beauty of his Lord. Just look at Imam al-Hussein salawatullahi alayhi. Now when they kept on Imam Hussein, when they kept insisting on Imam Hussein not to go, the Imam alayhi salam finally says to the messenger that the governor has sent, he tells him, look, I saw my grandfather in my dream, commanding me to go. That's it. This is my fate. This journey to Karbala is by the direct command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't think that you can stop me and you can negotiate with me and you can entice me with your amnesty. That's not going to happen. So when this approach failed, the governor of Mecca becomes agitated and he sends guards to fight Imam Hussein and his caravan. But the Imam showed utmost readiness to fight them and he threatened them. And the Imam, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam, and all the members of Bani Hashim and the companions of Imam Hussein, they held their swords high. And they told them, if you come near us, we shall kill you and attack you. A skirmish ensued, but then the Umayyads, the soldiers that the governor of Mecca had sent, they left the matter. They said, you know what? This could get out of control, and we're still close to Mecca. It's the Hajj season, many Muslims have gathered here. We don't know how this is going to end. So let's just leave Imam Hussein. We cannot stop him. So the Imam alayhi salam continues on his journey. Let's now go with Imam Hussein alayhi salam on this final journey of his life. From the time Imam Hussein left Mecca until the time he arrived Karbala, it took 23 days. That last journey took 23 days to complete. The Imam alayhi salam passed by 38 villages or places or cities on his way from Mecca to the land of Karbala. When I think of this journey, I try to visualize this journey. It's one of the greatest journeys in the history of humankind. You know, sometimes my wish from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that on the day of judgment, Allah just shows me these events. If I don't get anything on the day of judgment, except to see the light of Imam Hussein, and to see him on his journey, to see his patience, to see his faith, and to see just how Allah rewarded him, how Allah compensated those young children, those women, that's enough for me. Just imagine these children now on this final journey. It's not an easy journey. These children knew danger lied ahead of them, lay ahead of them. But at least something had comforted the heart of these children. It was the presence of Abu al-Fadl Abbas alayhi salam. He was still there. They felt safe. As long as Abu al-Fadl Abbas was alive, those children felt safe. But I can only imagine what happened to their small hearts. To their young hearts when Abu al-Fadl Abbas fell as a martyr by the banks of the Euphrates River. So they continued on this journey. The distance that Imam Hussein alayhi salam took from Mecca to Karbala was about 1,470 kilometers. Let's examine some of these stations in which the Imam alayhi salam stopped. We love every aspect of Imam Hussein. We desperately want to know every detail of that final journey, his final days before arriving Karbala. You know, many of us, we just know Imam Hussein alayhi salam on the day of Ashura, maybe just a few days before, from the 2nd of Muharram to the 10th of Muharram. That's all we know about him. Most followers of the Ahlul Bayt around the world, if you ask them about Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they probably can just tell you about some events that happened during those last few days. Let's examine the journey of the Imam before he arrived Karbala and what happened on this blessed journey. One of the first stations or small villages that the Imam alayhi salam passes by as he leaves Mecca is a place called the Bistan of Bani Amr. It was basically a farmland that belonged to Bani Amr. It has been reported that it was in this place Imam Hussein alayhi salam met al-Farazdaq. This place is still in the Haram area. When you're leaving Mecca, before you exit the Haram area, you pass by this place. The Imam alayhi salam met al-Farazdaq over there. Al-Farazdaq was the very famous poet. He has a very famous poem that he dedicated for al-Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam. So al-Farazdaq says, year 60 after the Hijrah, I went to Hajj with my mother and I was guiding her camel. When I entered the Haram area, I saw an armed caravan. I asked, who does it belong to? I was told that this belongs to Hussein, son of Ali. I approached Imam Hussein alayhi salam. I said salam to him. Then I told him, may the life of my parents be sacrificed for you. What hastened you to leave the Hajj? Everyone is flocking to Mecca. You're leaving Mecca? What happened? The Imam alayhi salam told him, if I don't hasten, I'd be captured. Then the Imam alayhi salam tells him, ask him a question, because al-Farazdaq just came from Iraq. The Imam alayhi salam told him, tell me about the state of the people in Iraq. What's going on over there? How are the conditions? How are the circumstances? Al-Farazdaq tells the Imam alayhi salam, do you want me to tell you the truth? He said, yes. Tell me the truth. He states, قلوب الناس معك وسيوفهم عليك. Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, the hearts of the people, they're with you, but their swords are against you. The people have betrayed you. They know you are their imam. They know you're on the right path, but they're not willing to sacrifice. The Imam alayhi salam tells him, indeed you have said the truth. Then the Imam alayhi salam, according to a report, makes a powerful speech over here, a powerful statement about the nature of this dunya. The Imam alayhi salam states, "Annasu abidu dunya." One version says mal, people are the slaves of this world, or people are slaves of money. وَالدِّينُ لَعِقٌ عَلَىٰ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ. Religion does not really penetrate their hearts. They just do lip service to religion. People claim to be religious, but religion is just on their tongues. It's just a claim that we are Muslim. We believe in God, but they don't show that in practice. يَحُوطُونَهُ مَا دَرَّتْ بِهِ مَعَايِشُهُمْ. People surround religion, follow religion as long as their livelihood is good. If I'm benefiting, if religion is to my advantage, then yes, I'll be the most religious of the religious. فَإِذَا مُحْصُوا بِالْبَلَاءِ. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tries them, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purges them through trials and tribulations, قَلَّ الدَّيَّانُونَ, not many people will be religious. Many people in Iraq at the time, they claim to be religious, but the Imam is saying over here that religion is just an utterance of the tongue for them. It has not really penetrated their hearts. People are enslaved by this world. My dear brothers and sisters, this statement by Imam Hussein alayhi salam is very effective. The Imam alayhi salam is basically teaching us that whenever you're not actively working for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're enslaved to something in this dunya. See, you have no choice. You have to be enslaved to something. At least then, be enslaved to the most powerful being. At least be a slave to Allah, because Allah is the infinite source of goodness, power, richness, and beauty. By being enslaved only to God, you break free from all other shackles. You actually achieve freedom. If you're not a slave of God, you're a slave of dunya. You're a slave of power. You're a slave of money. You're a slave of desires, temptations, lust. So at least be a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the best servitude. Don't allow these materialistic objects to captivate your heart. Many of us were captivated by this dunya, by fashion, by looking good, by clothing. Some people, they need to wear good clothes, fashionable clothes, attractive clothes in order to feel good about themselves. Some people have told me this. Say it, if I don't wear a brand name shirt, I don't feel good about myself. It's okay to wear nice clothes within appropriate limits, but don't be enslaved to a piece of cloth. Feel good about your good deeds. Feel good about your iman and faith and worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Feel good about being a good family member, a good community member. If I'm in need of my clothes and my car and my gadgets to feel good about myself, then I am enslaved to these materialistic aspects of my life. So the Imam alayhi salam here gives us a beautiful reminder to break free from the enslavement of this dunya. Another narration gives us the full text of this speech that the Imam alayhi salam just mentioned. On his way to Karbala, according to this report, the Imam alayhi salam states, إِنَّ هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا قَدْ تَغَيَّرَتْ وَتَنَكَّرَتْ وَأَدْبَرَ مَعْرُوفُهَا. O people, this dunya has changed. The goodness of this dunya is going away. And nothing of this dunya remains except the leftover of a cup. You know, sometimes you drink juice or water or something from a cup. You don't fully finish it. Some remnants of that juice, of that liquid stay. The Imam says the world has gone. Only some small remnants have stayed over here. Indeed, the world has changed. The Imam is saying this when he sees the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi change like that. The Imam alayhi salam is disappointed. We say to you, O Imam Hussein, what should we say, our beloved Imam? Today in our world, there's injustice everywhere. Children in Yemen are dying and suffering. Corruption is at the tip of our fingers. What's left of this dunya? Really? Yes, there's still goodness, alhamdulillah, around the world. But see where humanity is heading. Wars, destruction, corruption, immorality. This is becoming so pervasive and widespread around the world. And it may be the case that the Imam is also referring to the Day of Judgment. That we're inching closer and closer to the Day of Judgment. If you look at the life of the world, since Allah created it, we're at the very end. Just like that remnant liquid in a cup, right? That's it. The liquid is gone. Only some traces of it remain. Only some traces of this dunya remain before the Day of Judgment. Yes, the Holy Quran teaches us that with the advent of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, the conditions of the Day of Judgment are pretty much met. The reappearance of our master, al-Imam al-Mahdi, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajah, we hope that it's near. But if you look at the timeline of this world, we're towards the very end. Then the Imam alayhi salam states, do you not see that no one is practicing the truth? No one's upholding the truth. And no one is abandoning falsehood. In these times, a believer should long to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and leave this corrupt world. For I don't see death except happiness and bliss. What's the value of life under Yazid ibn Muawiyah, and people are desensitized to his injustice and corruption? Then the Imam at the end of the speech states, people are slaves of this world. And religion is just at the tip of their tongues. After the Imam alayhi salam makes the statement, Al-Farazdaq says, I asked the Imam alayhi salam some religious questions about the Hajj and other religious matters. The Imam answered me, I farewelled him and I parted with him. I went to the Hajj. The Imam is now continuing his journey to Karbala. One of the next stations that the Imam alayhi salam arrives is Tan'im. This is where you leave the Haram area in Mecca in order to do Ihram for the Umrah. One report indicates that the caravan of Imam Hussein alayhi salam at Tan'im meets a caravan coming from Yemen. Yazid's governor in Yemen had sent Yazid valuables and money, a lot of gifts. So this report indicates that the caravan of Imam Hussein alayhi salam confiscates these goods from this caravan which was being sent to Yazid. Some people ask why. Why would Imam Hussein alayhi salam have those valuables confiscated according to this report? The answer is simple. The Imam wanted to save this money, these valuables, these goods from being sent to the tyrant Yazid, who would use it on parties, on incest, on alcohol, on adultery, on killing innocent souls. The Imam confiscated it so he could give it to the poor, to its rightful owners. The Imam alayhi salam continues his journey to Karbala. The third station that the Imam alayhi salam arrives at is called Al-Hajir. When the Imam alayhi salam was in Al-Hajir, he writes a letter to the Kufans. And he sends this letter with one of his messengers or companions by the name of Qais ibn Mushir al-Saydawi. The Imam alayhi salam tells the Kufans that I'm coming, be prepared. Unfortunately, al-Saydawi, this companion of Imam Hussein, was intercepted by police of Ibn Ziyad, by the police of Ibn Ziyad. So when he's captured and arrested, he basically rips the letter. Because this is a secret letter from Imam Hussein alayhi salam to certain people in Kufa, giving them instructions on how to prepare the grounds for the arrival of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So they capture him and they take him to Ibn Ziyad. Ibn Ziyad tells him, "What were you carrying?" He says, "A letter from Imam Hussein." "To who?" "To the people of Kufa. "Who did Hussein send the letter to?" "I'm not going to tell you their names. I'm not going to disclose you their names. Imam Hussein has entrusted me. You think I'm going to betray him?" He tells him, why did you rip the letter?" He says, "So you would not read it." He tells him, "Look, I give you two options. Either you tell me the names of those people to whom the Imam was sending the letter, or you go on the pulpit over here and everyone is gathered and you curse Hussein and his father. Choose which one." He says, "I choose the second one." "Okay, let me go and curse." Ibn Ziyad tells him, "Okay, go. Let's do that at least. So people will not join you and they see that you flipped against Imam Hussein." This amazing messenger and companion of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, al-Saydawi, he goes up and he says, "Oh people, bear witness that I curse Ibn Ziyad and his father and the Umayyads. And may Allah peace and blessings be upon Hussein and his father Ali ibn Abi Talib and the Ahlul Bayt peace be upon them. Oh people, Hussein's on his way to Iraq. Support him as best as you can." Look at the courage of this amazing companion. At that point, Ibn Ziyad becomes furious. So they had him killed, executed, by throwing him from the upper roof of the palace. They threw him and they killed him. And he becomes a shaheed on the path of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He's the third shaheed so far. The first one is Sulaiman, who was killed in Basra. The second is Muslim ibn Aqil, who was killed in Kufa. And the third is al-Saydawi. He sacrificed his life for Imam Hussein salawatullahi alayhi. When the Imam alayhi salam heard that al-Saydawi has been killed, the Imam cries and he says, "Allahumma ij'allana wa li shi'atina manzilan kariman." Oh Allah, give us an honorable place with you for us and our Shia. "Wajma' baynana wa baynahum fi mustaqarrin min rahmatik." Oh Allah, unite me with my Shia. Look at how loyal Imam Hussein is. He doesn't only pray for himself, he also prays for the Shia. The Imam continues his journey towards Karbala. One of the next stations is called Zarud. According to a number of reports, when the Imam alayhi salam arrives Zarud, he notices that there are tents which were erected. The Imam alayhi salam asks, "Who's camped here?" They told him, "Zuhayr ibn al-Qayn." He had finished the Hajj and he was on his way back to Iraq. The Imam alayhi salam sends a messenger while Zuhayr was eating with his men, with his people. The messenger comes and he says, "Zuhayr, Hussein sends his salam to you and he would like to meet you." This report states that there was silence. Everyone felt uncomfortable because the companions of Zuhayr ibn al-Qayn, according to this report, were not on the path of Ahlul Bayt. They were on a different path. So the messenger tells Zuhayr, "Hussein has sent me to you. He wants you to go to him. He wants to meet you." This report states that he refuses. He refuses initially to meet Imam Hussein. In fact, on his journey to Iraq, Zuhayr ibn al-Qayn, he knew that Imam Hussein was also going to Iraq, so he tried to avoid coming into contact with the Imam's caravan. Sometimes he'd delay himself in a station so the Imam moves, or he goes faster, so he avoids meeting the Imam alayhi salam. He despised coming into contact with the Imam according to this report. But then they reached a place in Zarut where he had no choice. He had to camp there, and Imam Hussein camped on the other side. So when he refuses, according to this report, his wife tells him, "Subhanallah, the grandson of the Prophet calls on you and you don't respond? Shame on you, Zuhair." How beautiful it is, my dear brothers and sisters, when a spouse guides the other spouse. When you see the truth and you inform your family members of the truth. Sometimes you may see your husband, your wife rejecting the truth. Don't stay silent. Yes, don't cause tension too. Effectively say something. Creatively say something. Be wise and polite. But see, according to this report, how his wife became the source of his guidance. Sometimes we need to remind one another. Many spouses, they stay silent. The wife sees her husband is earning haram money. He's cheating his business partners. He's wreaking havoc in the community, and she stays silent about it. Yes, I'm benefiting. If he's cheating his partners, I'm making more money. My house is going to be fancier. I'll get more furniture. Better vacation next time. Believe me, that's how some people think. You have to say no to injustice when you see it, even if the one who's committing the injustice is your spouse. So Zuhair ibn al-Qayn, he goes to meet al-Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. When he comes back to his caravan, he comes back with his face glowing. He dismantles his tent and he joins the caravan of Imam Hussein salawatullahi alayhi. Subhanallah, what happened here? Then he tells his wife, "My dear wife, I've divorced you. Go with your brother back home. I have prepared myself to die with Imam Hussein alayhi salam. I don't want you to be hurt because of me." It was a way to protect her. Basically, I'm divorcing you to protect you. Go and leave so you're not taken as a captive. So you won't be harassed on this very difficult journey. Then Zuhair ibn al-Qayn says to his men, "Whoever wants martyrdom, let him join me. And whoever dislikes martyrdom, then leave." None of his men joined him, subhanallah. He went alone to Kufa with Imam Hussein salawatullahi alayhi. Now, what did Imam Hussein alayhi salam say to Zuhair ibn al-Qayn such that he was transformed so quickly? What happened? One report states that when Imam Hussein alayhi salam met Zuhair ibn al-Qayn, even though Zuhair disliked to meet the Imam according to this report, the Imam reminded him of something that Salman al-Muhammadi has said to them. Zuhair says, "We were in Balanjar, which is in the North Caucasus, you know, north of the Black Sea. It's close to Crimea." He says, "We achieved a conquest." This is after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi. "And we received some very good spoils of war. Salman asked us during that conquest," and Zuhair was there. "Salman al-Muhammadi asked us, 'Are you happy that Allah has given you this conquest and spoils of war?' They said, 'Yes.' Then he said, 'If you make it to the master of the youth of Al-Muhammad by fighting with him one day, be happier with that.'" Imam Hussein alayhi salam reminds Zuhair ibn al-Qayn of this conversation that Salman al-Muhammadi had with them. And he tells him, "Oh Zuhair, Salman was pointing to my mission right now. Be happier to be with Imam Hussein alayhi salam than receiving these worldly benefits. These worldly benefits don't help you. But joining Abu Abdullah alayhi salam helps you." That's what causes him to switch, according to a number of reports. As his wife was leaving him, because he asked her to go with his brother back home, she prays for him. And she says, "Oh Zuhair, on the day of judgment, remember me with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the grandfather of Hussein." Because she also sacrificed. She's leaving her husband. She's going to be widowed. And she's the one who motivated him. Given that she's the one who motivated him, all the rewards that Zuhair received, she also has a share in it. Because she encouraged him. Never underestimate the power of encouraging others to do good, my dear brothers and sisters. Every act of goodness that they do, Allah will consider you a partner in that act of goodness. So here is where Imam Hussein alayhi salam meets Zuhayr ibn al-Qayn, and it was in Zarud that Zuhayr ibn al-Qayn joined al-Imam al-Hussein salawatullahi alayhi. Then the Imam alayhi salam continued his journey towards Karbala. In our following discussion, we will examine the events that happened after the station until the arrival of Imam Hussein in the land of Karbala. These are the nights of Muharram. These are sorrowful nights. In these nights, let's turn our hearts to al-Imam al-Hussein salawatullahi alayhi. Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam would state that when the crescent of the month of Muharram would set, my father would not be seen smiling anymore. And he would be overcome with depression and sadness because he would frequently remember what happened to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The Imams of Ahlul Bayt, whenever something would happen to them, they would remember the martyrs of Karbala, the women and children of Karbala. Once the house of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam was attacked, his parts of his house were set to fire. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam begins to cry later. One of his companions sees him. He tells him, "Oh Imam al-Sadiq, I know your house was attacked, and this put terror in the hearts of your women and children. But why are you crying? You are a man of patience. You come from a family of nobility and martyrdom and shahada. Why is it that you cry?" The Imam alayhi salam tells him, "I'm not crying for myself. But when the fire broke out in my house and I saw the women and the children in my house running from one room to another room, I remembered my aunts in Karbala running from one tent to another tent when their tents were set to fire after Imam Hussein was killed. I remembered this scene and I started to cry." The Imams of Ahlul Bayt every year had to relive the tragedy of Karbala. La ilaha illallah. Al-Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam teaches us that if you want to cry for anything that's disturbing you, first cry on Imam Hussein, for he was slaughtered like a sheep right by the river of Farat in the state of extreme thirst. Yes, the Imam then states, the day of Ashura, the day of Hussein, is a day of our tragedy, is the day when we were humiliated, is a day when we were attacked, our family was attacked. Let us show our support for Imam Hussein alayhi salam on these nights by shedding tears, by experiencing that sorrow, by doing acts of goodness, by learning about Islam, because the mission of Imam Hussein alayhi salam was to learn about the religion of Islam, was to guide people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, indeed, the Imams of Ahlul Bayt would not stop crying. Al-Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, for 35 years after Karbala, he'd mix every cup of water that he'd drink with his tears. One day, one of the servants of Imam Zain al-Abidin told him, "Yabna Rasulillah, ama ana lihuznika an yanqadhi." Isn't it enough? Isn't it time for you to stop crying? You keep crying over and over about Karbala. I think it's enough. You've cried too much. He tells him, "Ya hadha," Imam Zain al-Abidin tells him, "Oh man, Ya'qub was a prophet chosen by Allah, and Allah gave him 12 sons, and Allah separated him from one of them. 11 remained with him. Allah separated him from one of them, Yusuf. And he was alive, he was not dead. And he cried for 40 years until his eyes became white and his back became bent. His back became bent." This is Ya'qub, the prophet of Allah. That's how much he cried for 40 years. "And as for me, on the day of Ashura, I saw my father Hussein. I saw my brother Ali ibn al-Akbar. I saw 17 family members from Bani Hashim beheaded, cut into pieces around me. How do you expect my pain and suffering to go away?" Ya'qub cried 40 years because he was separated from his son. "And I saw my father and my family members massacred. You blame me for crying on them for 35 years. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا آل محمد أي منقلب ينقلبون. والعاقبة للمتقين. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. O Allah, hasten the reappearance of our master, Al-Imam Al-Mahdi, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajah. O Allah, make us amongst his sincere supporters and those who will fall as martyrs defending him. O Allah, all those who are ill, they are struggling from an illness or from COVID-19. O Allah, grant them a speedy recovery. O Allah, grant us the ziyarah and the shafa'ah of Abi Abdullah Al-Husayn. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.